This, in the calendar of the church, is known as Low Sunday. Odd sort of name, but that's what it is. This is Low Sunday. Why Low Sunday? It's the first Sunday after Easter. And after the heights of Easter, when in the old days you would have had what they would call a high mass with absolutely everything, all the bells and whistles, a new cantata from Palestrina or Bach or whatever, you know, the whole caboodle for a brilliant Easter morning service which would last for hours. This is Low Sunday. When things go back to normal, like we said when we started, things pick up again after the Easter break. The children's work starts again, the cafe, and so on and so on. Things are back to normal. Which is why we read the story of the Transfiguration. Peter, James and John, the inner circle, often get drawn aside by Jesus. Come on, you three, let's go and pray together. Often you find them doing that through the Gospels. This one turned out to be a bit special. It's a brilliant experience and an awesome experience, where they see just a little bit, a little glimpse of Jesus as he really is. Peter has just acknowledged that this is the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for. And Jesus says, yeah, you're right. This experience confirms it. This is my son, says the voice of God. Listen to him. But it's also an encouragement in the face of, like we said, Jesus has begun to talk about the cross, which is not what the disciples are expecting from the Messiah. And this is a bit of encouragement. Remember this. Remember this on Good Friday when everything seems to be going wrong. Remember you saw my power. Remember you saw me as I really am. So for all sorts of reasons, it's a brilliant and important and awesome experience for Peter and James and John. And sometimes we get experiences like that. God is brilliant. He's awful good to us. And they tend to come when we most need them, when we most need the encouragement, when we most need the help. And they're brilliant. And Peter finds it so good that he wants to hang on to it. More because he feels he's got to say something rather than because he's got anything to say, which is Peter all over. He offers to build three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He's after prolonging the experience. It's good for us to be here, which I don't think means it's good that we're here. We can serve you. Let's build some shelters for you and give you. No. I think what Peter really means, it's good for us that we're here. This is doing me good. Let's stay here. Let's prolong this moment, this experience, this feeling. Let's hang on to it for as long as we can. This is brilliant. But that's not what it's about. Easter Sunday is brilliant. But this is Low Sunday. Such experiences, when they come, are absolutely wonderful. But don't go trying to hang on to them. The disciples find, the three of them find, that Moses and Elijah disappear. Jesus is back to his normal state, what appears to them to be his normal state, just the ordinary guy, the teacher, the rabbi. And he says to them, right, lads, we've got to go back down the mountain. The rest of them are having trouble with a healing down there. We've got to go and help. And that's how the experience ends. Back down the mountain, back down to the valley, back down to the messy world with its problems and its difficulties. Low Sunday. Back to the daily round, the common task. Back to ordinary stuff. It's not about, it's good for us to be here, let's hang on to it. Mary has the same experience, the passage we read from John. Mary has the same experience. She's absolutely heartbroken after Good Friday. Jesus meant everything to her. As a friend, as a saviour. And I think there's also the bit about expectations. Think of the two on the road to Emmaus. It's all gone pear-shaped. We thought this was the Messiah, and we had hoped, is what they say. We've given up hoping now. But we had hoped, and I think that's true of Mary too. And it's all gone wrong. And the Jewish leaders have had their way and done away with Jesus. And all of a sudden, there he is, standing in front of her. And it's like one of those rides at Alton Towers where you go from down there to up there in 2 seconds flat. Wonderful. It's you, Lord. And I have this picture of her. Down on her knees, in front of him, with her arms round his knees in worship and gratitude and just sheer relief. You're back. Things will be back to normal, and all the pain and the suffering and the heartache of the last couple of days will fade away, and we can pick up where we left off, and it's brilliant to have you back. What he says is, don't hang on to me. Put me down, Mary. Put me down. Don't hold on to me. Go and tell the rest of them. Yes, it's brilliant. But it's not just about you, Mary. Go and tell the rest of them. And she does. Don't hold on. Let go, Mary, and go and do what I'm asking you. More than that is the message that he gives her to give to them. I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Listen, Mary, don't hold on. Because it's not going to be the same as it was. It's not going to be back to normal, back to where we were before all that mess on Good Friday. It's not like that, Mary. It's going to be different. And it's going to be better. He tells the disciples at the Last Supper, it's better for you if I go away, because then I can send you the Holy Spirit. Mary, it's brilliant that you're here with me and I'm here with you now. It's lovely. But, Mary, if I go back to the Father and send the Holy Spirit to you, through the Spirit, I can be with you, Mary, all the time, everywhere. Doesn't matter where you are, you can pray. It's going to be better, Mary. I can be with you, I can be with all of you, all the time, by my Spirit. It's not going to be back to where it was, Mary. It's going to be onwards to something better. Now then, don't hang on. Go and tell the disciples that. Don't hang on. So when we have our Easter Sunday experiences, when we have our times of up on the mountain, experiences of communing with him, brilliant. But then we take that experience. We don't try and hang on to it, but we take it down in the world. Back down in the valley, back where people need to know, whether they're the disciples, whether they're this lad who needs healing, whether they're who they are. People need to know. What Peter and James and John and Mary have found out, that Jesus is the Messiah and he is alive and he will give us his Spirit. Where are we? Where will we be? Things are shaking down. Restrictions are easing. The new normal is coming into place. Things are changing in Bethania. We were thinking in the deacons' meeting last week of, do you remember we came and talked to you all about what you would like to do, what you feel you could do in Bethania? And we've sort of parceled all that together and thought, right, now then, where are we? We were looking at that, starting to look at that. Last week, things are changing. Rob steps down this year as secretary. I'm stepping down as treasurer this year. New patterns are emerging. New things will develop. New setups will shake down. New roles will emerge. We're praying in the deacons that God will sort all that out for us and put people in the right place, lead each and every one of us to what he wants us to do. And all I want to do this morning is encourage all of us to pray with us that that's what will happen, that God will take us forward, onward, to different things, but better things, like Mary found, and that we'll be happy to follow. pray for yourself. What do you want me to do? Pray for everyone in the church. What do you want all of us to do? Where do we fit? The jigsaw's been thrown up in the air, and once it's redone, you'll find it's a different picture. Where's my bit going? Where do I belong in this new picture? That's where the deacons are at. Please pray with us. I will build my church, Jesus says. And he will. So we need to let him, by finding our role and doing it. Let's pray.